Welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast, and on today's episode, the Oilers' Philip Broberg scores his first NHL game in an absolute seesaw battle of a game against the San Jose Sharks. Plus, we talk about who might be the Oilers' next Fernando Pisani, and also today is the dog of the week. We will get to that and more on today's episode of Locked On Oilers.
Your Locked On Oilers, your daily podcast on the Edmonton Oilers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, hello, welcome back to the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am your host, former Oilers game day producer, Brett Holden. And the Edmonton Oilers had a tough game against the San Jose Sharks, who are already eliminated, but they're fighting for their NHL careers. Well, not NHL careers, but for spots on next year's San Jose Sharks teams or potential other NHL suitors. So we will talk about that. Plus, yes, we will talk about who may be the Edmonton Oilers next. Fernando Pisani, that is always going to be the question when the Oilers go into the playoffs, and just who might be that unsung hero. Plus, once again, it is the dog of the week. And this dog of the week has been getting some love, especially from me recently. So we will talk about that. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. Plus, we're here on YouTube. Hello, YouTube, if you're seeing me. Yes, let's start with the Edmonton Oilers versus the San Jose Sharks. What a weird game this was. The Edmonton Oilers didn't exactly start off too hot. Two goals in the first couple of minutes for the San Jose Sharks. In fact, for Edmonton native, well, Edmonton area native, and Jason Greger, he's related to Jason Greger, Edmonton media member. Noah Greger scored the first two goals of the game for the San Jose Sharks, rather fittingly, as it was brought up numerous times in the broadcast. It wasn't a great start, especially not a great first period for the Oilers. They really came out kind of slow, but they were hitting. They were causing some physicality. They were wearing down those San Jose Sharks, and we eventually saw what would happen if you wear down your team. The Oilers ended up cutting down that 2-0 deficit, bringing it back to a 2-2 game, and then they unfortunately gave it up again a couple minutes later off because of a bad penalty by Evander Kane there. He ended up kneeing, well, it was called a trip. It probably should have been a knee on the San Jose Sharks defenseman. They ended up scoring 3-2. The Oilers tied it up again. And then the San Jose Sharks took another lead. And then the Oilers tied it again on Philip Broberg's first ever NHL goal, a name that we have brought up a bunch on recent episodes of Locked On Oilers. And that's where I want to start, is Philip Broberg, as Philip Broberg didn't exactly have the best of starts in tonight's game, or last night's game, I should say, as Philip Broberg in his first shift of the game was backtracking on a attacker, and Mikko Koskinen, for whatever reason, thought that he should play the puck to Philip Broberg, and Broberg had no idea. All of a sudden, the play's extended, the puck's in his feet, and it's all of a sudden in the back of the Oilers' net, and that didn't really start off a great game for Broberg, as the third goal of the game on the power play for the San Jose Sharks, Philip Broberg lost his man in front. His man was wide open in front of the net, tipped it home, and it ended up being the 3-2 goal that we talked about after Evander Kane's penalty. However, Philip Broberg really made up for it after his goal in his first ever NHL goal, the fourth goal of the game, tied the game for the Oilers. If ever you needed a goal to just wipe off the sweat upon your brow after having kind of a tough game for Philip Broberg, that was the one for him. Good for him, brought the game into overtime, and well, back and forth it was. At one point, I was almost sending out a tweet when Connor McDavid was on a breakaway, and nope, nothing there. Well, Leon Draisaitl will bring it back the other way, 2-on-1, and he lost it again. And then eventually, Zach Hyman, almost said Zach Kassian. Zach Hyman ended up scoring the game winner. Unfortunately for the Oilers, it didn't exactly look like we were going to get this far. Once again, we did talk about how slow the Oilers did start, and the Oilers didn't get their first shot of the game until about the 9-minute mark. At that point, they were being outshot 8-0. They did end up pounding back and obviously coming back in that that game last night. Connor McDavid ended up getting an assist last night, and these up to 123 points on the season. Obviously, yesterday we talked about how Connor McDavid should win the Hart Trophy, and this is the first time since 2001 that anybody has scored more points than 120 points. That is great. That is obviously Connor McDavid. He's in what, year 7 of his career? He's only going to get better. 5 Oilers now with 20 goals on the season. It is the first time for the Oilers since 2016, 2017. When I read off these numbers, this stat ended up coming off of Kyler Yamamoto's 20th of the season. Now, if I were to read out the 5 names who got 20 goals in 2016, 2017, would you be able to name all 5 of them? Obviously, yes. Sidney Crosby. Connor McDavid was one of those guys. Leon Draisaitl was one of those guys. And diehard Oilers fans, cover your ears, because 3rd on the team was Patrick Maroon. Yes, back-to-back-to-back Stanley Cup champion, as he will always, always, always remind you. And as an Oilers fan, of course, you got to be happy for the guy. Milan Lucic. The other guy, or the 4th guy who had 20 points, I am talking through my gritted teeth here, as I'm sure many of you Oilers fans are cringing at that. And here's a little bit of a nice buffer, a nice little smile on your face. The 5th Oiler in that season to get 20 goals, Jordan Eberle. Wow! Oh, that feels so good. Also, on Derek Ryan's 10th of the season, he is the 10th Oiler to score 10 goals this season. In the season, 10 goals. 10 different players have at least 10 goals in the season. Ryan McLeod is 1 goal away, so we shall see if he gets that. Unfortunately, Evander Kane couldn't get a goal, and the only reason why I say unfortunately is because in our predictions of the week, we did predict that Evander Kane would get 25 goals on the season. He needs 3 right now to get 25. And, well, if he is going to get 25, it is going to be quite the exciting game against Vancouver tonight. On our last note, in the last 24 games, the Edmonton Oilers are 18-4-2. That is a terrific number over the last 24 games. Terrific, especially going into the playoffs. The Edmonton Oilers do play Vancouver tonight, as they will wrap up their season. Obviously, a terrific season. Some people may have expected going into tonight's game against Vancouver that it might be kind of maybe a potential playoff seeding game. Maybe even if the cards were right, it could end up propelling Vancouver into the playoffs. That didn't happen, obviously. So Connor McDavid will most likely have a rest game tonight against Vancouver, which he deserves it, of course. I am never going to say, well, especially in the season that he has had, Connor can have a night. Come on, Connor can have a night. We shall see how he does without, or how the Oilers do without Connor tonight as well. Also, a noticeable name that was playing around for the Oilers, Philip Roberg, was one of those names that I did mention is kind of a tough start for him. Got his feet underneath him and really played well. But another defenseman I wanted to mention was Brett Kulak with a hit of the night in the first period. Great for Kulak. Great for the Oilers. And when we go into the playoffs, it'll be great to see, or when we get into the playoffs, we will see how the Edmonton Oilers and the defensive corps, and which Edmonton Oilers do end up stepping up for the Oilers. And just who might be that Fernando Pisani for the Oilers. Maybe not necessarily leading the entire playoffs in goals and points and everything else that Fernando Pisani did, but definitely helping leading the team to more wins in the playoffs. We shall get to that in just a second. But first, I want to tell you about our partner, Built Bar. Summer is coming, and with summer, you're going to need some good food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take along with you on family vacations. Throw them in your bags, throw them in your kids' backpacks. Make sure that everybody has some good fuel food ready to go for those summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars, they're healthy and delicious. No more sacrificing food for health with Built Bar. You can have both, and it's easy. All you'd have to do is go to built.com and order now. I've talked a whole bunch about their puffs. I love their puffs. They are crazy. And, well, I've talked a whole bunch about their churro flavors, and I talk a lot, I think a lot about Disneyland every time I hear churros. So I just get transported all the way back to Anaheim and think about Disneyland. But I mean, these puffs are great for you. They also have banana cream pie, and these things are 140 calories. Most Built Bars contain about 140 calories, 130 calories, somewhere around there. 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. When you compare that with your regular candy bars, which normally have about 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs, it is far and away much better for you. Go to built.com and get all your favorites like banana cream pie, raspberry, double chocolate, and so many more. They're all delicious, and all new flavors are coming out all the time. Check them out at built.com. And while you're at built.com, you can use the promo code LOCKED15, yes, that's 15, to get 15% off of your order. So use the promo code LOCKED15, yes, that's 15, to get 15% off of your next order at built.com. Yes, okay, I see. My hat is getting all over the place because I'm getting excited because the other day I did send out a tweet on my Twitter, as you can see down here. Oh, over here, sorry. It is at the real Holden 40. I sent out a poll the other day asking which Edmonton Oilers need to step up in the playoffs. This was a topic that we did talk about on a recent episode of Locked On Oilers, but a funky name, a familiar name kind of came up while this whole poll was coming out, or was ongoing, I guess, and that was Fernando Pisani. Yeah, Fernando Pisani, obviously they weren't saying, or the name, the person who ended up mentioning the name wasn't saying that, oh, Fernando Pisani is going to be the next Fernando Pisani. But they did mention somebody who could step up for the Oilers and might become the next Fernando Pisani for the Oilers. That was Warren Fogle. Yes, Warren Fogle. And you know what? I'm sitting over there and I'm reading this tweet saying Fogle could be the next Pisani for the Oilers. And I go, you know what? That's not too far off of an awful idea. That is a good point. So I figured, you know what? Let's take a look at some of the numbers for Warren Fogle. He almost tipped one home last night against San Jose. It was ended up being Derek Ryan's 10th of the season. But for Warren Fogle this season, 12 goals, 14 assists, 26 points. He's really close to setting those career highs for himself. He's one goal away for his career high in goals, which is 13. 17 assists for Warren Fogle. So unless he goes crazy tonight against the Vancouver Canucks, he probably won't reach that, but he's pretty dang close. And 30 points for Warren Fogle as his career high, only 4 away from that. Once again, if he pulls off a Connor McDavid without Connor McDavid in the lineup, yeah, he might reach it. But he probably won't. That was in 2019-2020. Still a very impressive season for Warren Fogle, especially since Jay Woodcroft stepped in for the Oilers. Since Jay Woodcroft stepped in for the Oilers, he has scored 7 of those 12 goals and 4 assists for 11 points. For those goals, Warren Fogle's actually 6th on the team in goals, the whole team. That is everybody on the team. That is more than Darnell Nurse, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and Jesse Puljujärvi. Warren Fogle has really also brought up that intensity for the Oilers. He's getting into those tough corners. He's battling for pucks in the, along the board, and has really forced and imposed himself on the opposition. The finishing has been a little better for Warren Fogle, as you can see as well, that he does have more goals than assists over that span since Woodcroft came into or came onto the Oilers bench. He is also 12th on the team for goals for per 60 minutes with 2.98 under Woodcroft. 2.98. Now, under Dave Tippett, on the other hand, he was 21st on the team in goals for per 60 minutes with 1.89. Yeah, 1.89 goals per game or goals for per 60 minutes for Warren Fogle. When you take a look at the difference between the two, that is a difference of 1.09 goals per 60 minutes. A whole goal. Now, I realize when you sit back and you think, oh, well, that's just a goal. You know, that's just one single goal. That is one single goal for one person, not for the entire team. It is for the player. That is how much he is producing for the Oilers under Jay Woodcroft. He's getting put into these more important roles, more important times, getting into the face-off, getting into the hard areas. And he's really fighting for those pucks and fighting for the Oilers as well. Fernando Pisani, let's get into him. As if you're an Oilers fan, especially if you grew up in the 2000s or if you watched the 2006 Stanley Cup playoff run for the Oilers, well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say Stanley Cup playoff run. Stanley Cup finals playoff run. I'm sorry, Oilers fans. I know. It still pains me too. In that playoff for Fernando Pisani, he ended up leading the entire league in the playoffs that season with goals, with 14 game-winning goals, shooting percentage, and even strength goals as well. Now, Warren Fogle isn't exactly going to be playing all the time on the power play, if at all, so the Oilers would need him to produce even strength. Now, let's take a look between the two with Warren Fogle and Fernando Pisani. They were in pretty similar spaces or spots when you take a look at where Fernando Pisani was in the lineup for the Oilers and where Warren Fogle is for the Edmonton Oilers. Now, they are kind of similar. Not necessarily the best producer for the Oilers was Fernando Pisani, excuse me. But in 80 games that season, he did have 18 goals, 19 assists, 37 points, so a little bit of a bigger jump for Warren Fogle. If we do take a look at it in the grander schemes, especially when you take a look at his career high is only 13 goals. But under Dave Tippett, once again, he was only producing that 1.89 goals per 60 minutes. We're now under Jay Woodcroft. He's producing a whole nother level of points. So maybe when we're going into the playoffs and we're taking a look at Warren Fogle, maybe he might be that guy who will be able to produce more, especially when you take a look at how the LA Kings will probably lock down Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. Once again, Leon Draisaitl led the Oilers last season with goals, in goals, with two. He had two. He led the entire team. You had Connor McDavid on that team, Kyler Yamamoto, Yessipuljärvi, Darnell Nurse. You had a whole bunch of guys on that team who should have produced. And now the Oilers do finally have guys other than Connor McDavid, other than Leon Draisaitl, who can produce. And maybe, just maybe, Warren Fogle is that guy for the Oilers. Let's get into our dog of the week. As this guy, I've talked about him a whole bunch already, and he has been putting on quite the blistering pace. I already said his name a couple times already in today's episode. But before we get to that, I want to tell you about Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your betting stats and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, interviews and news, including this year's NHL playoffs, which start next week, baby. We will have a very special episode for that. And plus, Major League Baseball's in full swing, baby. Oh, what a time. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs to esports and much more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet Online, where the game starts. And unfortunately, where we are going to end today is with our dog of the week. There's a dog somewhere. I'm sure that is probably barking. And this week's dog of the week, I've talked about him a whole bunch already this week. He's so close to that 25 goal mark. The Oilers are apparently trying to retain the guy. That's Evander Kane. Yes, of course. It is Evander Kane who, as I've mentioned so many times already over the past week, Evander Kane is 3 goals away with 1 game left in the season from 25. I don't know what my connection is. Well, 25 is my favorite number. But being able to set up 25 goals or score 25 goals, excuse me, in basically half of a season, he played his 42nd game last night against the San Jose Sharks. Well, fittingly, of course. And he will play his 43rd game of the season tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. Now, I mean, if you could basically set a 50 goal pace, you're going to get paid in the offseason. Well, I am cheering for Evander Kane. It will cost the Edmonton Oilers a pretty penny to retain him, but we're looking at just the week that has happened in 4 games so far this week. He has 5 goals, 2 assists, enough for 7 points. He has really driven the offense when it's not Connor McDavid or Leon Draisaitl. I mean, going into the Columbus game, he had already had those 3 goals against Colorado, and then he comes back and scores the first goal of the game against Columbus. And you're just sitting there, you're like, is this guy ever going to stop scoring? I mean, if you're an Oilers fan, you're sitting there and going, please don't stop scoring, especially going into the playoffs, especially going against these tough teams in the playoffs. Also, throughout the last week, he was set first on the team in shots, 4 with 18. That is also good enough for first, as I mentioned. He was second on the team when it comes to individual expected goals. Now, this number is... It kind of blows my mind. This next number, I should say. It does blow my mind. And he's only second on the team when it comes to this. For goals for per 60 minutes. And these are over the last 4 games. Over the last 4 games. Let me once again remind you, 4. This number blows my mind. Goals for per 60 minutes that Evander Kane is producing is 9.62. 9.62. And that's second on the team. You know who's first on the team? Kyler Yamamoto with 11.38. Now, obviously, those aren't sustainable numbers, but those are impressive numbers. Those are terrific numbers. When you're sitting there looking, obviously, for guys that you need to produce in the playoffs, and you're looking at the stats, that is one of those stats that you're looking at, and my, oh my, is he sitting pretty. On top of that, he is also sitting second on the team for individual hits 4. Yes, second most amount of hits on the team 4 in those 6 games, or in those 4 games. Excuse me, I keep messing up how many games played he's played. 4 games over the last week, he has 6 hits. And you know who he's behind? Brett Kulak, who was going to be my... dog of the week up until I looked at all those stats, where Evander Kane is basically up in the top 2, top 3, maybe even leading in many of the stats, important stats, especially for the Edmonton Oilers. But I do want to give a quick shout out to Brett Kulak on that. He's had a great week as well, really stepped up for the Oilers in the absence of Darnell Nurse. He imposed his physical will, moved the puck well against San Jose last night. We will see how he performs in the playoffs as well. Obviously, he's a local boy. When he got traded to the Oilers, he called his dad and he said his dad was a little emotional when he was told, when he was telling him that he is going to come home and play for the Oilers. And yes, Brett Kulak will play for the Oilers tonight, as of right now, against the Vancouver Canucks. Do expect to see some names come out of the lineup tonight against Vancouver. Obviously, as I already mentioned, Connor McDavid will not be in the lineup, as it has been reported by Chris Johnston. It sounds like Connor McDavid will not be in the lineup for Vancouver, just kind of getting some rest before the playoffs over the weekend. I would probably expect to see Leon Draisaitl probably draw out of the lineup for the Oilers tomorrow, or tonight rather, as well. And I do expect to see Mike Smith in between the pipes. Is looking away from the guys who might be out of the lineup. I could see, obviously, I don't see Mikko Koskinen starting back-to-back, but Mike Smith will probably get the start tonight against the Vancouver Canucks, and hopefully he can keep his streak going into the playoffs. And the next time I see you, the Oilers will be in the playoffs, as they will face the LA Kings. Yes, the LA Kings, as we will also have a very special episode with the LA Kings Locked On Kings podcast as well. We will call it a day there. Thank you so much for making Locked On Oilers your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. Nightly recaps of every NHL game with analysis from our local experts. It is free and available wherever you get your podcast. Once again, thank you so much for joining me on the Locked On Oilers podcast. As the next time I will see you over the weekend, it's playoff time, baby. We shall see you then. Everybody, I hope you stay safe and have a terrific weekend. All the best, and we shall see you soon.